something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way. And God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
David and Alan Masters. I'm Alan. He's David. This is Perilous World Radio. And damn it, we're living on the edge. Yes, we are. Big show today, by the way. David, we've got some big news going on right now, don't we?
Well, there is. And one of the strangest parts of it, before I get to the Seattle police chief resigning, the looters in Chicago are now demanding that the people who are arrested for doing such looting be released. And here's what they're saying. Looting is reparations. Oh my God.
Well, and they said it's because they have insurance that looting is okay. I mean, imagine the thought process that is like, well, we're going to go ahead and have a riot. And they're not calling a riot. We're going to go ahead and protest. And it's okay for us to loot and break windows because everybody has insurance. So it's no big deal. They're not really going to lose anything. No downtime. No, you know, nothing. No big deal. No insurance premiums going up. You know, no problem here.
You okay, know, so
it's just absurdity.
I mean, you think about this. Okay, so now they're not going to be held accountable for unlawful and bad, evil behavior. But now the Black Lives Matter protesters, they gather outside the Chicago Police Department in support of these looters who ransacked the city on Sunday night. And the organizer claims anything they wanted to take, they can take. Now, I've got audio for later in the show of a eyewitness to this looting, and they said that people had rented trucks and backed up to these very nice stores that they were looting and took as much as they possibly could.
No big deal, David. Those stores have insurance, so take what you want. Get a moving truck. Let's just get everything we can. I'm thinking about joining in on the fun. I mean, they got insurance after all. Why not?
I couldn't do it. You know what? Here's the difference between me and them.
Consciousless people. It's consciousness.
No, they're not even consciousless. They're the zombie lemmings. Somebody texts them, hey, let's go loot. 1,000 people show up. 1,000 people. They show up and they steal cars. They ram through glass windows. They take anything they want. They call it reparations. See, this is the justification of not a human being, but a subhuman being. And I'm not saying that in any kind of racial way.
True story. No,
I'm saying these people are not living on a conscious level of a human being. I don't even think animals do this kind of stuff.
No, you know what it is? It's like baboons. I saw a video.
Well, that's true. That's true.
A baboon, or maybe it was a monkey, but I think it was a baboon, stole a baby lion while the mother was sleeping. It went into the trees, of course, and came down and stole a baby lion. Think of the chutzpah of this baboon to steal a baby lion.
Yeah.
Now, you don't think that the what do they say? Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. That lion is the Lord of the jungle. That lion's going to be mad. But you've seen him also steal babies. I mean, human babies. It happens all the time in the Middle East and not the Middle East. What do you call it? Asia, where all the monkeys are running around.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, but, I don't know. I think that the chutzpah of these people is unbelievable, saying, well, they got insurance. It doesn't matter. You know?
So, look, it does matter. Everything matters. I mean, in the bigger picture, what you do and don't do in this life, it ultimately matters. And it's like in the Chicago Police Department, in Atlanta, in Minneapolis, all these places where people are just being allowed to go and do these horrible things. There's a terrible price to pay for the leadership that lets this happen. But the other big story this morning is the Seattle police chief, Carmen Best, has resigned. Now, she's been in the force 28 years. I thought that she was basically, after watching her on numerous briefings, I thought she was a pretty decent person. I think she actually cared about the people there. Well, now they've voted to cut 100 police positions and $3 million from the police force budget.
She was making like $285,000 a year. Wow! Who would have thought that job paid that much?
That's actually almost as much as the president. It doesn't matter, honestly. And so the Democrat-controlled Seattle City Council votes to defund the police. Now, I'm thinking to myself, defunding the police. If you think about this objectively, and I don't think we've talked about this yet, but I literally believe that this is not even code. This is, if somebody came to me and said, we're going to take away money for street crews. Okay. You're not going to get your streets repaired. Well, what they're saying is, let the streets rot. Let the streets get potholes. These potholes cause accidents. Now, you think about the next step of that is the police. We're going to defund the police, take money away from policing. What they're directly saying is, we don't want there to be crime control. We don't want crime control anymore. We just want to allow crime to flourish. That's what they're saying. These people are completely nuts. Nobody could live in these neighborhoods where there's no active police force. They're nuts. They're out of their minds.
To that point right there, good for the property values in the small communities of America that have been dying, you know, because remember Route 66 is going to come back to life. Because of all the highways that have bypassed all these little towns, it's all going to come back to life because people are going to go, okay, well, that big city, not gonna, because it's just, it's like Omega Man. There's going to be just evil lurking at every corner. I remember many, many, many years ago telling my dad I was going to go to New York. Many, many years ago. He said, oh, New York is dangerous. And then, you know, Baltimore. Oh, Baltimore is dangerous. And then, of course, you know, you had like Mayor Rudy Giuliani cleaned up things there. And next thing you know, New York was flourishing. Well, it's heading back the other way now. It's going to turn back into Gotham City. And they're going to defund Batman, in essence. It's really it's a sad situation. That's why, guess what? We're going to have to protect ourselves. Second Amendment.
You know, so. I saw the list today of large cities that have defund the police activity going on. No one in their right mind is going to stay in these dozens of large cities that don't have
the active
police
force. Yeah, but the biggest ones are L.A., New York, and San Francisco. And
well, Salt Lake City also, Utah. Can you imagine that?
I know, it's amazing. But also, you think about, you know, Seattle, Portland, any of these big cities, and they're going to end up burning to the ground. This is all historic stuff that is going on. And how can people be so blind? How can they be so deaf and dumb?
I don't think people
really
are blind.
Dumb in that
I
case.
I think people see it, but they have become zombie lemmings. They just sit in their living rooms, watching their TVs, trying to figure out how they're going to survive. But they have accepted the dictates of these bigger-than-life personalities like Super Mario Cuomo and Gavin Newsom and the people that, like, you know, Gretchen Whitmer and Darth Cater of Portland. they have allowed these people to make these decisions that are going to destroy everything they've lived for, everything they've worked for. And because they're afraid, they don't know what to do because they've allowed other people to make decisions for them for so long. That is the tragedy. That's the real tragedy. Now, there are people that do stand up. Tucker Carlson had somebody on his show the other night, a guy that wrote a letter to a school principal who was against the support the police flag with the thin blue line on it. The man that wrote the letter, one man, forced this principal to give an apology, but this guy should have been fired. If only one man stands up, and this is how one person makes a big difference. One person. Jesus made a difference. Gandhi made a difference. There are people that make a difference by standing up and doing the right thing. Imagine if 1,000 or 1 million people stood up, what a difference it would make.
Well, the far left has brought our country to crisis, exactly where they wanted us. And now they're going in for the kill of the country.
Well, be careful, because that kill might backfire on those scum.
Yeah, well, let's hope it does. All right, we'll take a little break. Tuesday morning, and for us anyway, you can call 800-866-8883. Monday through Friday, we do the show from 10 to noon if you want to call in. 10 to noon, West Coast time, 800-866-8883. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
At FHU.com, you can read a collection of articles by Roy Masters, myself, David Masters, and others with a focus on faith, meditation, healing, fears, and stress, and helping you take charge of your own life. Currently on FHU.com, Mass Hypnosis and Mind Control by me, David Masters. It starts this way. In our modern world, manipulators make use of what is known as priming. The mainstream media, sophisticated communicators, and various forms of communication can influence your attitude as well as your overt behavior without you ever knowing it. Researchers and social scientists understand that once a person's attitude is accessible to suggestion, otherwise known as hypnosis, at that moment, your attitude can be used as a guide to some form of action. Anyone that wants to guide your actions and attitudes intentionally or unconsciously uses subtle influences to form and direct your behavior. To understand priming mechanisms, let's examine some of the research findings. That's available on FHU.com right now. Also by me, David Masters, Delicious Delusion. I recently had the opportunity to spend time with a family member on my wife's side of the family. I will call that person Member X, that makes a living from working in the food industry. Member X is very skilled at preparing food and has been for decades. Member X is obese and has heart issues that can be deadly. Member X knows that the very food that is so much the focus of life and livelihood is also what will be the cause of death. It seems like a paradox. And this brings me to the point of my observation. Food is hypnotic above all other temptations, more than sex, money, and power, because food is a unique power to delude or cloud consciousness and hide anger, judgment, if not all the unhealthy, inhuman qualities, and most dangerously, suppress self-awareness. That's available on FHU.com right now.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Call toll free 800-866-8883. Here's your host.
Well, if you'd like to contact us, it's David at FHU.com or Alan, A-L-A-N, at FHU.com. Yesterday, we talked a little bit about 97,000 school children testing positive for the coronavirus. And Alan made a really interesting point about somebody opening the package and sending it to the testing facility without using it and having it end up being a positive result. Now, that is frightening. That is so frightening. Maybe the packages are already positive, and it doesn't matter whether you use them or not.
Well, and then another person that got killed on a motorcycle crash that was positive for coronavirus and didn't know it was marked as a death by coronavirus because they said to the hospital, what are you talking about? He got killed on a motorcycle crash.
Yep.
Yes, but he had coronavirus, so we have to mark it down that way. And it's like, wait a minute. And then the comments, you should have seen the comments. This was on social media. And there were so many comments. I know somebody else that had terminal cancer.
Yeah. Yep.
And they had 3 weeks to live, and then they found out that they had coronavirus, and they died in 3 weeks.
Now,
they
it's rotten. It's absolutely rotten. It's evil.
We're being deceived, America.
Absolutely. It's absolutely deceptive and intentionally. But what I want to do is I want to go back to the school issue, because now the schools are abandoning, in various places, they're abandoning in-person learning. And so I started thinking about, you know, eventually they're going to have like robot learning. Okay. They're going to have, because teachers are just flawed human beings anyway. So maybe
they'll do a brain implant like they've done in Star Wars and all the other movies we've seen. Right. And you'll just be smart and you'll have Google implanted in your brain.
Right.
And you'll think it and the answer will come up. Want you to think.
So here's my example of what the future holds for learning. Listen to this.
Open the pod bay doors, please, Hal. Open the pod bay doors, please, Hal.
Hello, Hal, do you read me? Hello, Hal, do you read me? Do you read me, Hal?
Do you read me, Hal?
Hello, Hal, do you read me?
Do you read me, Hal?
Affirmative, Dave. I read you.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
What's the problem?
I think you know what the problem is just as well as I do.
What are you talking about, Hal?
This mission is too important for me to allow you to jeopardize it.
I don't know what you're talking about, Hal.
I know that you and Frank were planning to disconnect me, and I'm afraid that's something I cannot allow to happen.
Where the hell did you get that idea, Hal?
Dave, although you took very thorough precautions in the pod against my hearing you, I could see your lips move.
All right, Hal. I'll go in through the emergency airlock.
Without your space helmet, Dave, you're going to find that rather difficult.
Hal, I won't argue with you anymore. Open the doors.
Dave, this conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
Does that sound remotely possible? By the way, that's from 2001, A Space Odyssey. That was made in the 60s. One of the most advanced science fiction movies ever made. But listen, the cameras are everywhere.
Right.
So even if you're thinking about doing something that the robot overlords don't want you to do, they're going to know about
it. The best part is, I could see your lips moving.
Right.
And of course they can read your lips. You know what's funny is, I actually had this thought. I'm embarrassed to tell this, but I'm very transparent. This morning, I was going to take a shower. Took all my clothes off, looked in the mirror and said, wow, that's a handsome man. And then I looked down at my phone and I went, who else is thinking that? It's like the phone is sitting there watching everything.
Oh, my gosh.
So I threw a dirty pair of underwear over the top and said, there, take that. But I'm telling you that
you know, I think that's true, because even what's his name from Facebook? What's his name? Oh, I can't think of his stupid name.
Zuckerberg,
Mark Zuckerberg puts a piece of tape over his camera.
But
on
David,
his PC.
I have to tell you that the saddest part about it is, as soon as I looked at Facebook talking about Zuckerberg, all these weight loss things started popping.
Are
up.
You
and I know
kidding?
That, I know they were looking at me. I know.
Are you joking? You tell me
I'm
the truth.
I'm joking.
Okay,
but it's mostly true. Oh, my gosh. But here's the interesting thing. I think you know. And isn't that interesting? That's the mind game right there. When somebody says, I think you know, your own conscience goes, oh, my gosh, he knows that I know. Or what's he talking about? I should know and I don't know. See, again, it's the theater of the mind, but it's the battlefield of the mind. Because it's mind games keeping us in fear. And I remember also I went to the store and I walked right into this store. Actually, I'll tell you what store it was. It was the Dollar Tree. Mm. I thought I'd go in there and buy some socks, right? I'm cheap. I get it. People know this. I go in there and it says you're supposed to wear a mask in the store. And I looked around and I go, all right, nobody's looking. And all of a sudden I feel like a thief. Nobody's looking. But I thought, I'm going to slip in here. Nobody will see me. Put my hand over my mouth like, you know. And I walked through and nobody saw me. Nobody saw me. I'm like, I'm in. I'm going to get my socks and I'm going to spend my dollar. And I'm going to get out of here. Right. But they didn't have any good socks. So I thought, oh no, I'm inside. I got to get out of here. Here comes somebody. Oh no. Go around the corner quick. Oh no. There's somebody else coming at me. They got a mask on. I don't have a mask on. This is how the mind is thinking, right? Now I'm inside. I don't want to buy anything. I just want to get out. I don't want to get yelled at. You know what I mean? It's like, what is going on with our minds? So I walked through the place where you pay, one that was not open, and everyone looked at me. He's not wearing a mask. Mm-hmm. He's not wearing a mask. It's like they were thinking that, but nobody said anything. And I walked fast out of there. And I got outside and went, oh, my God, escape from the dollar store. I made it. It's sad. It's so sad.
Wow.
Escape from the dollar store. You know, it's like, what the hell is going on with our minds? They are inside of there already.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that because I was in one of the co-ops over here locally getting something the other day, and I walked in. I forgot to put my mask on. I just forgot. And I got in there, and all of a sudden I became very self-conscious, like, wait a minute. I'm surrounded.
Naked face?
I'm surrounded. Absolutely naked face.
A friend of mine says on his Facebook page, we shouldn't be on Facebook, but I realize that it's such an addiction at this point. We should be using MeWe, MeWe.com. Check it out. He says, you know what? You know the old saying, I miss you. I can't stand it. I can't take it. I want to see your face. He says, you know, it's like there's an old thing. It's like, you know, I love your face or whatever. He says, I cannot wait to see faces again. You can't. All you see is like, you know, hair and eyes.
Yeah.
They've taken our faces away. They've taken our faces away. We're not human anymore. We're just moving objects.
I think at some point, though, Alan, that may not be a bad thing because now they can't identify everybody.
Well, that's the other side of it. But they've taken away our identities. They've taken away our faces so that we're not people anymore. We're just disease carriers or part of the brown shirts. You're okay if you're wearing the brown shirt, the mask, or you're a disease carrier. Get him! Stone him! Rock him! Get him! We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
In states and cities and towns, be as forceful as possible in getting your citizenry to wear masks.
Well, that's a bit of a problem.
Madman. You're a madman. No man. No man threatens a messenger.
You threaten my people with slavery and death.
This is blasphemy. This is madness.
Madness.
Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.
You know, Dr. Jordan Peterson, I interviewed him a couple years ago. A brilliant, brilliant man. A sweet man. An absolutely courageous man. First of all, he had benzodiazepine dependency and almost died. Had to go to Russia to be able to, you know, get some help. Believe it or not, his family took him all the way to Russia. Because we have such stupid laws and rules and things here, they won't let you try things. Of course, you know, Trump is trying his best to fix that, right to try. But anyway, he comes home and now he's got the Chinese virus, the Wuhan Chinese coronavirus from China. He's got it. And it's very sad. This man is like the devil himself is attacking this good man. Anyway, David, I love Dr. Jordan Peterson. He's just a beautiful human being.
Well, he's widely considered to be one of the wisest men of our time, and it is true. Now, in this interview, he's in Australia with the former Prime Minister of Australia. His name is John Anderson, and they're talking about neo-Marxism on the rise.
Wait a minute. Isn't that John Anderson? Isn't that the name of the guy that was after Neo?
Mr. Anderson.
Oh, no. That was Neo. Who was Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Anderson was Neo.
Okay, that's right.
That was his everyday
name. Human, regular, everyday on the surface name.
His hacker name was Neo. Anyway, oh, and by the way, I'm very disappointed with the new Matrix movie coming out. The transgendered sister who is was once a guy, now as a girl, says that it's a metaphor, an allegory for trans people. The Matrix. Anyway, I don't care because it still says what it says. Anyway, Dr. Jordan Peterson was on an interview with John Anderson in Australia back in, and this was posted on July 30th of this year. Let's hear him talk about neo-Marxism. He's talking about speech codes. Listen.
You use the word neo-Marxist. Many people in Australia use the word cultural Marxist. I've got an old friend who said to me, what are you talking about, John? You know, free capitalist Australia is not going to let that happen here.
Mm-hmm. Well, Qantas Airlines took a nice step towards that the other day. And they adopted their language policing policies. These corporations who should know far better let these far left fifth columns into their organizations. They think they're not going to pay for that. They think they're going to stop with some demands for the reconstruction of language. Not like the demands for reconstruction of language, by the way, are trivial. They're maybe the most important thing you could possibly demand, right? I want to reshape the way you speak. I want to reshape the way you think. It's like, well, that's okay, as long as it doesn't interfere with the bottom line. It's like, it'll interfere with the bottom line. You let that fifth column in. It's a warning to corporate people. You let that fifth column in, man, you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. So, and things can turn on a dime, you know, a very well-organized minority, even if the majority opposes them, and they do, a very well-organized minority can have an unbelievably pernicious effect on an organization.
Well, he's talking about Black Lives Matter right now, actually, even though in a roundabout way, speech patterns, taking down street signs and putting up Black Lives stuff all over the place, writing, scrolling huge signs in front of the Trump Tower, Black Lives Matter. Come on. You know what? This is all the reorganization of our thinking. And really, it's all based on a lie.
Yeah. It's actually the Black Lives Matter movement is a Halloween mask for a true demon that it is putting over its head. You know what I'm saying? It's like they've got this mask on. Have you ever seen the mask of like Richard Nixon? You know, it looks like a real person.
Sure.
If you took off the Richard Nixon mask, you would see this horrible, rotten, evil, far left looking creature. Far left. But it's interesting because it is evil. It's reshaping the way you speak and think. And, you know, it's like I said earlier, I think you know is what Hal said, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's all mind games. And we, the people of America, have been duped. I got to say it again. We have been duped by these Democrats, these far left Democrats, neo-Marxists, cultural Marxists, Marxists that are trying their best to destroy America. And we have been duped. We have been fooled. We have been screwed. And we must band together in a right way for what is right, for what our founding fathers put together, well, the most beautiful country in the world.
Listen,
regain, you know, our foot ground.
We've got citizens standing up against this madness in places like Seattle. There was a huge gathering over the weekend of people coming out in support of the police. But I want to move through this audio because it's taking you somewhere.
Okay.
Because after I want to play the second Jordan Peterson clip, and then I want to get to something that will shock your socks off, Alan.
Okay.
The communist takeover of the United States and a man who was a KGB agent who defected to this country warns America. And it's absolutely specific, and you'll hear it. It's what's happening in America today. But let's listen now to Jordan Peterson, clip two.
This issue of the redefining of language, it seems to me that there are two things that people who want to reshape society in brutal ways do. The first is they start to silence good debate, either silence it or shut it down or whatever. Second thing they do is they redefine language so it's very hard to have a debate. So diversity... Actually, I mean, there's no other way to put it. In this country, it's rapidly coming to mean a stifling conformity. You dare not deviate from the line. And you see it with a whole lot of other words that are bandied around, equality being one of them.
Yeah.
Because it's confused. Equality of opportunity is confused with equality of outcome.
Well, the initial wedge was equality of opportunity, and then that flew. And so, it's equality of outcome. That's equity. And that's, I cannot believe how rapidly that idea, which is the ultimate and terrible ideas. I can't believe how rapidly that spread and how little people criticize it. Well, that's because it. To uninformed analysis, it sounds good if you're feeling carelessly compassionate.
Carelessly compassionate. No, I got to tell you.
Uninformed analysis.
Guys.
I love that.
Of these guys are brilliant, really brilliant guys.
Yeah. You dare not deviate from the line, and that is absolutely true. I love Jordan Peterson because he has a grasp of knowledge and wisdom, but he uses them, you know, he uses them so eloquently. He puts his words together so unbelievably beautiful that you actually understand what he's saying, even though he's talking at about 8 levels higher than my ability to hardly understand. But I actually understand it. It's just beautiful to listen to him explain what's going on in this world. It's wonderful.
Now, before we get to Yuri Beznamov, I want to play the audio of a large rally for police in Seattle, and they're chanting SPD, that's Seattle Police Department, but they're also pushing back by saying, you killed Lorenzo. You killed Lorenzo. Lorenzo Anderson was murdered at the CHOP in Seattle. Listen to this audio.
Lorenzo, you killed Lorenzo. 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 You killed Lorenzo.
These people are ticked off. They are done with these Antifa goons.
So wait a minute.
Done.
So let me understand. One, yep. There was two groups. One
right.
was you killed Lorenzo.
Right.
And they were saying that to whom? The cops?
They're telling this to the scumbag Antifa goons. They're pushing back on them. They're standing there. The Antifa goons are beginning to worry that they're outnumbered, and they are.
I still don't understand. Who was saying you killed Lorenzo? Who was saying
that? There
was
a group of people that came out in support of the police. Hundreds of people.
Okay.
Chanting.
So they were chanting
at the Seattle City Hall. A huge turnout. People kept coming. And then there were arguments that took place.
I thought it was Antifa saying that the Seattle police killed Lorenzo.
No. These are the people, the good people of the United States, pushing back on Antifa.
I got to say, I saw a video, David, I saw a video of these Antifa people. They went to the wrong small town USA. I don't know where it was.
Oh, yeah.
Our brother Michael actually sent it to me.
I saw that, too.
And it was they were all dressed in black. And it was interesting, even black, like ski hoods, right?
Right.
Like, and you couldn't see anything except eyes, and there was a little hole for the mouth.
Right.
And so they were all black, long sleeve black shirt. Some of them even wearing black gloves, all black. Like, again, taking our faces away, taking their faces away, so they couldn't be recognized and or prosecuted for being there because they're just these all dressed in black. I doubt half of them were even black.
And they all came out with guns and told them to leave.
Yeah. So the people of the town said, well, you're not wanted here. Get yourself out of our town. And they basically created a wall of citizens and walked them backwards. And then one of the Antifa people tried something. And then, of course, that was the end of that. The best part about, remember the movie The Dark Crystal?
Mm-hmm.
The movie with the Skeksis, they look like vultures that were wearing.
They look like Democrats. Okay.
They look like vultures. They were wearing these beautiful gowns and robes and jewelry, and they were just ugly, and they had a big beak like a vulture. And the worst thing you could do was to remove their clothing because they were just ugly birds without feathers.
Right.
You've seen a parrot without feathers. You wouldn't want to get within a mile of it. The ugliest creature from another planet.
Diseased.
Right? And that's the same thing. They de-hooded those Antifa people so that they could see their face. There you are. That's who's doing this. We see you now. These Antifa people are paid anarchists. They're being paid by someone. We have a Marxist uprising, and they're called Antifa. Just know it. Know it in your heart. This I know. They're paid. These are actors on the stage. But this stage is a battlefield, and the battlefield starts in the mind. We'll be right back. This is Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is David Masters. How do you like being called a statistic? Well, that's what you are, because statistically, the odds are against you. That's why my dad started well over 50 years ago to understand why people do the things they do. And that's why he wrote his first book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well. Let me read something from the foreword of the book. Our path of existence depends on our choice in this matter. By not choosing rightly or not knowing how, we continue responding to a compulsive external tug on our senses, which causes us the agony of rebelling against or conforming to what only appears to be right. Pavlov demonstrated that dogs would respond increasingly to repeated stimuli with data and feeling, and eventually, idea alone could produce the reaction. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. You need to get the book called How Your Mind Will Make You Well and begin to use the Be Still and Know exercise as taught by my dad. If you go to the FHU.com website and listen to the Be Still and Know exercise, this exercise is very simple. You can listen to it before you buy it. Go to FHU.com and listen to Be Still and Know. And then also for the military, we have coping strategies. So there's no intrusion on your privacy. You can listen to the coping strategies. Feel what it feels like to be in control again. Go to the FHU.com website. That's FHU.com. The name of the book is How Your Mind Will Make You Well by Roy Masters. And Be Still and Know, the exercise. Both available at FHU.com. Conditioned reflex may be normal for animals, but it spells agony for mankind, daily robbing him of the will to do right. Does that resonate with you? If it does, go to FHU.com. Or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. And now let's join Advice Line.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
So this morning, I was looking for my wife. I couldn't find her anywhere. And I started looking around. I'm like, where in the heck is she? We have 3.5 acres, and we have a big briar patch full of berries and berry bushes.
She was on your tractor.
No, she wasn't, thank God, because that would be a mortal mistake. But she was out standing in the field near the berries, and I thought, oh, she's picking some berries. She was out there in her Russian army boots, because we have chickens and the roosters sometimes will attack your ankles, in her robe and her pajamas. So that's a picture to try not to visualize. And she was standing there, but she wasn't picking berries. And I could see her. She was, you know, 2 acres away, and I'm like, what is she doing? So I went out there, and she's standing there on the phone with somebody. And I walked up behind her, and she goes, oh, my gosh, what? Oh, hold on. She was listening to a national prayer line for President Trump. Because I said, what are you doing? And she told me, and I go, what? She says, yeah. She goes, I heard about it. And she goes, and it was this morning. And so I said, put it on speaker. She goes, no. And I go, put it on speakerphone so I can hear it. And it was all these people around the country taking turns saying a prayer for President Trump. Because people of faith are getting together, and they are doing everything in their mind to be able to help our president, including and not limited to saying prayers for him on a national prayer line, open line. And you basically just would, you know, give your name and then say a prayer, and then the person give their name and say a prayer. And I got to tell you, it was beautiful, man. It was absolutely, some of the prayers that people were giving were just touching. And I honestly, our country needs to come together in prayer and really reach out to God in that way and say a little prayer for our president and each other and our towns and our friends, because of ourselves, we can do nothing. We are going to fall prey to the far left neo-Marxist, cultural Marxist, Marxist, whatever you want to call them, if we don't band together under God. And I'll just say that, David.
Well, okay, so let me ask you this, Alan. What comes to mind when I say the word otherworldly?
What's that little punk from CNN? I can't think. A little ball-headed guy that's
well,
just
wait,
a
wait,
weasel.
Wait. Just play with me here.
What I,
play
otherworld.
With me here.
If it has a face, it looks like that guy.
Oh, okay. So you're thinking that it's sort of a dark force. Would
What's that guy's name? You know who I'm talking about.
I'll tell you in a second because I'm getting to something.
Okay.
If I think of otherworldly, I think of two possibilities. I think of either angels or demons. Okay. So on Sunday.
Oh, you mean not of this world is what you're talking
otherworldly,
about.
Otherworldly, right?
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. All right. I wasn't
so
sure.
So Sunday on CNN's Unreliable Sources with Brian Stelter.
There he is. Brian Stelter, whatever his name is.
Stelter. He's stelted. His growth was stelted as a child. Listen,
that guy, I don't know how he's still on television anyway.
Well, because he's a pandering buffoon. I mean, anyway. CNN Stelter said it's offensive and otherworldly. Now, that is the word, that's the operative word, because that is a reference to the dark side. For right-wing radio hosts to question Biden's health. Think about this.
Are you serious? Are you serious?
I am serious. Listen to him. Listen to him. Oh. Try to follow his logic. Go.
But first, let's go on a trip together to a totally alternative universe. You never hear what's happening there unless you tune into right-wing talk radio. But you need to know what they are saying because the most popular, most powerful talkers in the country have trained their sights on Joe Biden. What you are about to hear them say is mind-boggling. Look, whether you like Biden or not, this stuff is offensive and otherworldly. So let me set the stage for this before I play the clips. Keep in mind that news and talk radio is still really popular, even in the internet age. Guys like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity can influence tens of millions of listeners. And as this HuffPost headline pointed out earlier this year, talk radio stars were shopping dangerous claims about the coronavirus. They were downplaying its severity. But nowadays, if you listen to those shows, you hardly hear about COVID at all. They have shifted to big-time Biden bashing instead. You know what this is? This is negative partisanship in action.
Oh, you're so weird. Oh,
negative partisanship.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is just an intellectual idiot.
Well, wait a minute. See, we can't go by this real quickly because he said talk radio is still very popular and that these people like Hannity and Limbaugh and others can shift tens of millions of thinking people in their opinions and their beliefs. Well, wait a minute. Didn't Google say it's going to shift 10% of the voting population to Biden?
Through manipulation. Look, there's a difference between saying the truth and having people agree with it, you buffoon stelter.
Well, that's true.
And
that's
manipulating people beyond their ability to comprehend what is happening to them. That's the crazy part. We've got digital technology manipulation versus people telling the truth on the radio and exposing the liars, twisters, the intellectual, left-wing, far-left-wing Marxist.
What's even worse is he thinks that it is offensive and otherworldly, otherwise known as demonic.
Well, it is for him, David.
Radio host to question Biden's health.
David, it is otherworldly for him.
Yes, it is.
He's 100% right because he is of the dark world, the underworld.
Yeah.
He's right. It is otherworldly for him.
It's really interesting. He looks at us and he sees demons. And we look back at him and what do we see?
Well, listen, if you went into hell, they would look at you like you are otherworldly.
He'd be the guy that says, get in line and take a ticket. Because there's so many people waiting to get in.
That's right. Yeah. Well, oh my gosh. Well, by the way, you really want to learn how to put a firewall up for this kind of insanity. It's a 7-minute meditation. It'll help you to find some clarity, peace of mind. FHU.com, Foundation of Human Understanding, FHU.com. It's called Be Still and Know. For the Patriot Outreach, patriotoutreach.org, it's called the Coping Strategies for People That Have PTSD from the Military. It absolutely works. Check it out. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
something wrong with the world today. I don't know what it is. Something's wrong with our eyes. We're seeing things in a different way, and God knows it ain't his. It sure ain't no surprise. We're living on the edge.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
I'm Alan Masters. My brother David Masters is here. I'm going to tell you a quick story. My wife suffers from migraines every now and then, and I've been with her now for almost 40 years. We just had an anniversary, 34 years married. We were dating for almost 5 years and engaged. And all these years of my life, when my wife would tell me she has a headache or she has a migraine, I would go, come on, just, you know, suck it up. Just get with it. Let's go. Come on. And she'd go, no, you don't understand. I got a migraine. Until I got a migraine, I used to think she was just such a lightweight. And then I get a migraine. I'm like, oh my God, how can you live? How can you live with this pain? Well, that's what's happening in our world right now. People from around the world are talking about this socialist takeover that is about to happen to America. It's already underway.
No, David. It happened 30 years ago.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but it's about to come to its climax if we're not careful. But they see it because they have witnessed it from other parts of the world. You'll see it all the time. People that have lived in China, people that have lived in Russia, people that have lived in other parts of the world, they see it and it's as plain as the nose on their face. But they're like, why don't you see this? Why don't you see it? But it's been happening to us, like you said, for years and years and years. But it's about to climax. We're about to either experience it or we're about to destroy it. And that's the war. That is the war, the battlefield being the mind. That is the war that is about to take place. And guess what? Trump said the other day, he said, you may not see me for a little while because the very, very rich are very, very angry. He is right now, I believe he is taking every precaution to make sure he is not murdered, killed by weapon the way John F. Kennedy was and Abraham Lincoln or any number of others. But the point is that he is taking every precaution because the evil in this world is out to get this man that is going to either save America or we will lose because the evil in the world is that powerful. I said on my Sunday talk a couple weeks ago, I said, my father sends his condolences because he's been telling you about this for 50 years and you didn't listen. Our dad is Roy Masters, written 25 books on this subject and on the ability for us to see what's going on. His first book, How Your Mind Can Keep You Well. His first one, 1963. We have not listened to the warning signs. We have been asleep, hypnotic states of Americans, one of his last books. We are walking through this life in a hypnotic state that we have been put in. Generations have put us, our own family members, by accident. Forgive them, Father, for they knew not what they did, and they know not what they do to this very day. You'll have family members that will not agree with you right now as you prepare for the end days that are possibly just around the corner. The end days as we know it in the world today. We've got to stop this evil that's in this world. Boy, that was a rant.
Okay, on that note, back in 1984, this video was recorded, and it features former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov. Now, I've seen this video.
1984? This is a recording? Okay.
This was recorded in 1984. I've seen this video. I saw it probably 20, 25 years ago. And when I'm walking, you know, I free my mind, and things come to me, and this is what came to me. And of course, it is perfect to understand what's happened to our world. So let's play clip one. The commentator gives a background on this guy, and it's instructive. Go ahead.
Our conversation is with Mr. Yuri Alexandrovich Bezmenov. Mr. Bezmenov was born in 1939 in a suburb of Moscow. He was the son of a high-ranking Soviet Army officer. He was educated in the elite schools inside the Soviet Union, and he had an outstanding career with Novosti, which was the, and still is, I should say, the press arm or the press agency of the Soviet Union. It turns out that this is also a front for the KGB. He escaped to the West in 1970 after becoming totally disgusted with the Soviet system, and he did this at great risk to his life. He certainly is one of the world's outstanding experts on the subject of Soviet propaganda and disinformation and active measures. When the Soviets use the phrase ideological subversion, what do they mean by it?
Ideological subversion is the slow process which we call either ideological subversion or active measures, активные мероприятия in the language of the KGB, or psychological warfare. What it basically means is to change the perception of reality of every American to such an extent that despite of the abundance of information, no one is able to come to sensible conclusions in the interests of defending themselves, their families, their community, and their country. It's a great brainwashing process which goes very slow, and it's divided in four basic stages. The first one being demoralization. It takes from 15 to 20 years to demoralize a nation. Why that many years? Because this is the minimum number of years which requires to educate one generation of students in the country of your enemy, exposed to the ideology of the enemy. In other words, Marxism-Leninism ideology is being pumped into the soft heads of at least three generations of American students without being challenged or counterbalanced by the basic values of Americanism, American patriotism.
So think about what he's saying, and it's clear. Many generations now, at least three generations of Americans, have been demoralized, and specifically through the educational system. So he's talking about the four stages of control, ideological subversion, or psychological warfare. It's the same thing. And active measures, which you see going on, beginning with demoralization, destabilization, and crisis. Any thoughts on that before we go to clip two?
Well, yes. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, why have we been so asleep? Why have we been so deaf? We have ears, but we could not hear. We had eyes, we could not see. We have been so focused on entertainment and ourselves because of the narcissists that Americans are. It's sad. We are just completely caught up with ourselves since Facebook and all these other things that allow us to glorify our worlds and create a even better world than truly exists in our own world because we can modify it and enhance it and lie. And no one knows the difference because we've been so busy focusing on our mirrors instead of the window and looking outside and see what's going on that we have almost lost our country. I said it, David, in the first segment here of this hour that a man actually says to me, he says, why would you say your father said my condolences? Because, and he says, you've damaged your father by saying that. I said, no, you don't want to hear the truth. You have almost lost this country. At this point, we are literally at the tipping point. We are, you cannot get any closer to the tipping point other than the whatever 90 days left we have before the election. The election is the ultimate tipping point of thousands of years of humanity to get to this point. We are there and many will perish in the battles ahead. Whew. I have to say it. I'm sorry. It's the truth.
Okay. No doubt. Although it is preventable at this point.
And I don't
think
it is.
As people watch. Oh, I think it is.
I think that's why the ammunition guy comes, the guy with the gun store, and says, do you have any ammunition you want to sell? No. He's out. The reason is because Americans are arming up for the battle. They're arming up for the battle.
I would be careful.
I will tell you, though.
I don't think that we want to promote an idea about a civil war. I think we
David,
need to push back
you know,
on an
they
idea
won't
of civil
call
war.
It, they won't call it a civil war. They're going to call it civil unrest. And guess what? When these people, these Antifa people, the neo-Marxist, cultural Marxist, far-left, democratic operatives come to your small town and come to my small town, they're going to get a surprise. They're already getting a surprise across America. They're getting a surprise because only the weak-minded and the weak will be overtaken by them.
Yes, But all that it takes for evil to prevail is for good men and women to do nothing. And men and women are standing up. And I don't believe that we're going to end up in a full-on conflict.
But we need our Second Amendment right to protect our First Amendment right.
Under Trump, anyway.
Yes. All right. All I can tell you is be prepared, America. If you're not, listen, there's no harm in it. There's no harm in it.
What?
We'll take a break. Perilous world.
Oh, I see. Being prepared.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Cure Stress by Roy Masters, subtitled How Your Mind Will Make You Well. This book teaches you how to resolve your fear, anger, and guilt, and discover your true identity. Most of us are the sum total of our experiences. Another way of saying this is that we are bothered, burdened, and sometimes disabled by our past. Unless we learn to respond correctly in the present moment, the present merely becomes an extension of the past that we are already trying to leave behind. In the book Cure Stress, Roy Masters teaches the Cure Stress exercise, which enables the user to remain calm and patient in the face of extreme stress, confusion, and cruelty. Based on Judeo-Christian roots, the exercise will help you back to your center of dignity and understanding and show you how to remain sane, poised, and tranquil under the most severe trials and tribulations. The name of the book is Cure Stress by Roy Masters, available at FHU.com. That's FHU.com. Or call to order 1-800-877-3227 during regular business hours Monday through Friday, West Coast time. Also available at FHU.com, an article called Opposing Forces by me, David Masters. Stress and peace are quintessential opposing spiritual components of life, the yin to the yang. Living the gift of the present means learning to find your center, being objective, and having the strength to carry through no matter how painful or challenging that situation is. Being present means no outcome-based thinking, not letting anything that you want or any person or pressure determine what your principles will be or where your moral compass will point. The word stress in the human sense is almost always associated with loss and suffering. Available at FHU.com right now, along with many, many other articles. That's FHU.com, 24/7. Call 1-800-877-3227 or write to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
So we are playing audio from a former KGB agent. His name is Yuri Bezmenov. He defected in 1970 to the United States. In 1984, this video was made. But before I play the next clip, I want to tell you the definition of psychological warfare is a broad term, but in all documented cases, the concept uses actions intended to reduce an opponent's morale or mental well-being. The aim is to use manipulative tactics to implement or persuade a person or people. This process is usually enjoyed through propaganda. Now, you take a look at the school systems. The school systems are propaganda outlets for the young minds, turning them into mush. You look at the news media, the popular mainstream news media, propaganda outlets for leftist, communist ideas. Look who we have now trying to take over this country, Bernie and company. So here comes clip number two, again, recorded in 1984, featuring former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov. Listen.
The demoralization process in the United States is basically completed already. For the last 25 years, actually it's over-fulfilled because demoralization now reaches such areas where previously not even Comrade Andropov and all his experts would even dream of such a tremendous success. Most of it is done by Americans to Americans, thanks to lack of moral standards. As I mentioned before, exposure to true information does not matter anymore. A person who was demoralized is unable to assess true information. The facts tell nothing to him. Even if I shower him with information, with authentic proof, with documents, with pictures, even if I take him by force to the Soviet Union and show him concentration camp, he will refuse to believe it until he is going to receive a kick in his fat bottom. When a military boot crashes his balls, then he will understand, but not before that. That's the tragic of the situation of demoralization. The next stage is destabilization. This time, subverter does not care about your ideas and the patterns of your consumption. Whether you eat junk food and get fat and flabby, doesn't matter anymore. This time, and it takes only from 2 to 5 years to destabilize a nation, it's what matters is essentials: economy, foreign relations, defense systems. And you can see it quite clearly that in some areas, in such sensitive areas as defense and economy, the influence of Marxist-Leninist ideas in the United States is absolutely fantastic. I could never believe it 14 years ago when I landed in this part of the world that the process will go that fast. The next stage, of course, is crisis. It may take only up to 6 weeks to bring a country to the verge of crisis. You can see it in Central America now. And after crisis, with a violent change of power, structure, and economy, you have so-called the period of normalization. It may last indefinitely.
I mean, if you think about what he's saying, Alan, he's saying you could show the people the truth. You could take them to the Soviet Union, show them concentration camps, and they won't believe it. There are none so blind as those who will not see, but there are reasons why people don't want to see, because what's happened is that we have surrendered. We surrendered. He said it happened in 1984. He said it happened 35 years ago. Think about that. So we're talking about 1930. This is insane how long we've been under the specter of the dark side, the evil empire, as Ronald Reagan called it. So we are facing a very, very dark prospect. If we don't stop it here, it won't stop. It will. The normalization of this Black Lives Matter movement, the Antifa, the tearing down of statues, the removing of our American history. By the way, the teachers have asked for more money and more capitulation for their leftist belief systems. Get rid of them. Get rid of all of them, because they're taking us down the dark into the pit of hell. Your thoughts?
Well, he said it there in an interesting way about needing a kick in the bottom, and until they feel the pain, in essence, without going back over what he said. It was the same thing I started out with my rant at the beginning of this hour about how I used to think my wife was like, you know, kind of like, come on, what's wrong with you? Let's get going. Till I felt the headache that she was experiencing. Then I realized, truthfully, let me just kind of put a period on the end of that. I realize how strong she was, because when she gets these headaches, she does do her job anyway. And women have a much more higher threshold for pain. I couldn't do it. I would be taking whatever it is that I had to get rid of that pain, because the migraines are horrible. But that's what Yuri said, Bezmenov. He said, until you feel the pain, you don't actually accept it mentally as actually happening. And that's what's happening to our country right now. We needed, like I've said for months on this radio show, we needed to feel this pain. It had to come to this. Thank God that we have President Donald Trump in the White House during this time. But yes, thank God, and God helped to get him in there. Because, as you know, that the odds were against him. But these evil leftists were in there, Obama, doing what they did to further the cause of the Marxists that have been trying to take over our country, like you said, David, since probably the 40s or 50s or whatever it's been. Yeah, you know,
absolutely. So we have one more clip for the next segment, but let me read to you this, Alan. You know the famous Lance Armstrong, the bicyclist?
Sure.
Lance Armstrong's bike shop has canceled police contracts, but he still expects the cops to protect him from threats.
Well, you know, I don't know.
Scumbag Lance Armstrong. Scumbag doper.
Yeah.
Doper cheater. Lance Armstrong. So there you go. Well,
yeah. This is a battle for the mind. I want to keep saying that. And if you don't have a firewall for your mind and you're just letting everything flow in and out, you know, at will from the news media, and unless you're listening to the right news media, you're going to believe whatever anybody says. I don't want you to believe us unless it resonates with something inside of your heart that says, yes, that's the truth. Then believe it. Only if you believe it is the truth what you're hearing on this show. You can't just take the word of the media just because they're the media. We're like you. We're just people that are going, I'm madder than hell and I can't take it anymore. And we have a microphone and it blasts out to a million people. Thank God. Thank God. I said it twice, I know. But it's important. We need to be a nation under God. Don't forget it. We'll be right back. It's a Perilous World.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there, like a splinter in your mind, driving you mad.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
So this video was recorded in 1984, and it features former KGB agent Yuri Bezmenov. You can find it on YouTube in a number of places. This is the third clip, because we got to get through this, because I want to get to a report on how the polls that are taken are absolutely and completely violently off.
Normalization is a cynical expression borrowed from Soviet propaganda. When the Soviet tanks moved into Czechoslovakia in 68, Comrade Brezhnev said, now the situation in brotherly Czechoslovakia is normalized. This is what will happen in the United States if you allow all these schmucks to bring the country to crisis, to promise people all kind of goodies and the paradise on earth, to destabilize your economy, to eliminate the principle of free market competition, and to put a big brother government in Washington, D.C., with benevolent dictators like Walter Mondale, who will promise lots of things, never mind whether the promises are fulfillable or not. Your leftists in the United States, all these professors and all these beautiful civil rights defenders, they are instrumental in the process of subversion, only to destabilize the nation. When their job is completed, they are not needed anymore. They know too much. Some of them, when they get disillusioned, when they see that Marxist-Lenin has come to power, obviously they get offended. They think that they will come to power. That will never happen, of course. They will be lined up against the wall and shot. But they may turn into the most bitter enemies of Marxist-Leninists when they come to power. And that's what happened in Nicaragua. You remember most of these former Marxist-Leninists were either put to prison or one of them split, and now he's working against Sandinistas. It happened in Grenada when Maurice Bishop was already a Marxist. He was executed by a new Marxist who was more Marxist than this Marxist. Same happened in Afghanistan when first there was Taraki, he was killed by Amin, then Amin was killed by Babrak Karmal with the help of KGB. Same happened in Bangladesh when Mujibur Rahman, very pro-Soviet leftist, was assassinated by his own Marxist-Leninist military comrades. It's the same pattern everywhere. The time bomb is ticking. With every second, the disaster is coming closer and closer. Unlike myself, you will have nowhere to defect to.
Ooh, that is shocking. Wow. There is sad. No. You've said it, Alan. There's nowhere else in the world. Where can you go?
I know. Yeah, it's sad. I don't know what year he passed, but he passed away, I think, at about 83, something to that effect. But anyway, wow, it's, I love I love how he says, you don't want to listen to these schmucks,
yeah,
because they're going to bring the country to crisis. Well, there you go. There's your sign, everybody, as Bill Engvall, the comedian, say, there's your sign. What are we in? Air quotes, crisis. Yes, we are. We're there.
So now, on the basis of that, I need to play the audio from the Trafalgar Group founder Robert Cahaly, because he says that Trump is on the upswing and voters cannot wait to vote. Now, this is important because he outlines why you cannot believe the polls. Now, we're not at the end yet, because there are many people out there who are ready to jump in and do what they need to do to defend America and protect
it.
By the way,
he passed away in 1993.
You're talking about Yuri?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know he had gone.
He was born in 1937, I think. So
he wasn't that old, really. But interesting, you wish these people were still here. Yeah. You just really do, because he said it as clear as a bell way back in 1984. As clear as a bell. And here, our dad at 92 has been saying it the same way for 50-plus years on national radio, and now, people used to call him a kook. It's like, really? So,
He was right. Again, the polling company that predicted Donald Trump would win in Michigan in 2016 told the Kyle Olson Show that he will do the same in 2020. Now, listen to this, because he explains why you cannot believe the polls. Go.
The Trafalgar Group, a political polling company based in Atlanta, was pretty much the only one in 2016 that predicted Donald Trump would win Michigan, Pennsylvania, and the Electoral College. Robert Cahaly, founder of the Trafalgar Group, joins me now. So there is a flurry of polls, and it's hard to know what to believe and what to trust. So what's the latest on what's going on in the presidential race in Michigan?
What I can tell you is the what's called, the mainstream polls, whatever that term is worth, are fundamentally flawed, and they're off. I will tell you, of the things that are out there right now on the, they're just doing things the old way, and it doesn't work anymore. First and foremost, relying on live caller. That's the quote-unquote industry standard. We have to have a live caller. When you look at a thing called the social desirability bias, that is a point when a person gives an answer to a poll that they think will have them judged in a favorable light by the person asking the question. But that phenomenon is real. Happens a lot, and it is very much in play in this election. And it was in 2016. It was in certain states in 2018.
Okay, so what he's saying is there's a desirability outcome. And he goes into it in the next clip. But he's basically saying, when you talk to a live person, oftentimes they're going to tell you what makes them sound good to the person who's doing the interview. It's really interesting. And this, by the way, is a part of the psychological warfare. Let's just play the second clip.
I have to just correct myself. I said I thought he was about 80-something. He was only 54, talking about Yuri Bezmenov. 54! He was a young man. Hmm. I would be his older brother, like you're my older brother. The guy was a young man. He died of a massive heart attack. Yeah, I think not.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Former KGB agent. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
There are simple ingredients that can cause a massive heart attack.
Well, that's they can write whatever they want, too, but go ahead.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, clip number two, the Trafalgar Group, Robert Cahaly. Go ahead.
The more anonymous a person believes the poll to be, the more honest they give the answer. The worst part about the hidden vote, which is a reflection of the social desirability bias, and that's when somebody doesn't tell you what they really think, is that we've seen a disproportionate amount of Republicans unwilling to participate in polls. So you have to really work hard to get a Republican to answer. People who are on the Democrat side tend to be 5-1 more likely to participate in the poll. So it takes a lot more work to get an actual Republican sample. Now, of the Republicans who are easily willing to participate, you're going to see two things. Republicans that are disenchanted, maybe kind of Romney-type Republicans who can't wait to tell you they're not for Trump. Republicans that are hiding their vote who will just tell you they're for someone other than the fact they're for Trump. And add to that, they're being undersampled. So if your goal was to get 38% Republican participation in a poll, let's say it was a particular state, you needed 42 Democrat percent, 38 Republican, the rest, unaffiliated. Well, you end up, with 24% Republican because you just can't get enough to participate.
So social desirability factor. But the Republicans, as we have talked about on this show, are very reluctant to talk to anybody because they don't want anybody using that information against them. That's the environment that we live in America today. Any thoughts on that?
Well, as we're sitting here, I just looked at my phone for a second. Social media pops up. Pass the bill to create a national vote-by-mail system. Stop Republicans. And it's got Obama's face paid for by Stop Republicans.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. It just shows, even while we're doing the live show, this thing is trying its best, like we said, a virtual digital evil system. They're worried about guys like us on conservative talk radio influencing millions, and they're trying to do it subliminally. It's so interesting. So President Trump says that he's going to accept the nomination, the presidential nomination, and give his speech either at one or two locations, the great battlefield of Gettysburg in Pennsylvania, or the White House in Washington, D.C. I just think that, is that not like prophetic? The great battlefield of Gettysburg. I think
which the woke ones want to dismantle and take away all the statues and everything there.
But the best thing is the ad that comes up before that is pass the bill to create a national vote by mail system.
Yeah.
What a
I've got to get to this third one because it's very important that you understand, because he ends on a positive note. Listen.
Trump voters, what we hear all the time, is they're frustrated. They do not like what is going on in the world around them, especially in the last few months. They're very upset about all this violence, defunding police, and cancel culture, and statues being torn down. They're tired of all that. But they're also afraid to say anything for fear of being judged. So they cannot wait. That voting booth is where they're going to vent this frustration, and they are going to vote regardless of whether the polls say Trump is going to lose by 100 points. On the other hand, if your enthusiasm is to beat Trump and not for Biden, and you see Trump losing based on all the polls, and you aren't really excited about Biden, what are the odds you're going to vote? I mean, people say, well, you guys must be in the tank for Trump. I'm like, no, we don't get paid by the campaign or the RNC, but you need to take this race seriously. Don't believe these polls. You're in a fight for your life. I'm warning you.
There it is.
We are in a fight.
Don't believe the polls, but we are. And by the way, we do believe that our president is going to win re-election by a landslide. But it's important to understand that what they're saying is the polls can actually work against Biden, because if people think that Trump is losing, fewer people are going to vote on the left.
These are biblical times. These are very important times. We'll be right back. It's Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. We'll be right back.
at FHU.com. You can change how you react to stress and improve your life with a 7-minute meditation. If you could learn the secret of how to control your responses, how to find that God-given switch in your mind, which would allow you to energize and motivate yourself, you would never again feel conflict, guilt, fear, or depression. If you're willing to be shown how you can become the person you were created to be, allow the foundation of human understanding to introduce you to a simple exercise that will prove to you, through your own experience, that control over yourself without unbearable suppression is not only possible, but vital to your health, to your future happiness, and to your very existence.
What do you see? Surely there's little twinkles of light, different shapes moving across the screen of your mind. Is that so? Something magical happens when you observe those little pixels crossing the screen of your mind. It has all different colors, little sparkles. This is programming from within. Just be aware of them, and you will find that you are in a refuge, meaning you can hear my voice, but you've left your thoughts behind. That's very important. This is what's happening.
Here's what people are saying about the 7-minute meditation. Physicians are taught to treat symptoms. These exercises have the capacity to resolve the root of the symptom. Dr. Rick Titus, MD, CCFP. Time and time again, I have observed time and time again the efficacy of the teachings and practices in people of varying emotional maladies. Dr. Ron Carlson, clinical psychologist. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. It will change your entire life and the way you look at the world you live in. Go to FHU.com and listen to the 7-minute meditation. That's FHU.com.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters. Here's your host.
A year ago, July, I was in China. I was taken there by the Chinese government and an auto manufacturer because I'm an automotive expert, and that's what I've been doing for the last 40 years of my life. And they wanted my opinions on this new factory that they were building to build new cars. And so, therefore, I said yes, and I'll go. And I was thinking about Donald Trump and how he was just slamming China. And I was thinking to myself, I want to go there with an open mind. I want to see China. So I went to China. I was there for a week. Went to Beijing, went to a couple different cities, and was impressed with the people there. The people are hardworking people. They will survive. Amazing tenacity, the Chinese people. Now, the Chinese government, on the other hand, you know, very interesting, very interesting.
Oh, the word is evil. Okay, now let's get to Nancy Pelosi.
But wait. What I want to say here is, because I didn't know just how much manipulation was going on. And that's why when I say interesting, because they, of course, you know, when you take the press to see something, you show them only the best of the best of the best. And I was actually quite impressed, mostly by what I saw on the way to and from these factories and things I was visiting. But I now fully understand why Trump was dogging out China in such a hard way from the beginning of his presidency. And so guess what? If you see a rattlesnake and you try and step on its head, it is going to wriggle and writhe and try and do everything it can to escape and bite you in the process. And that's what he did. He stood right on the head of these Chinese communist evildoers.
Well,
and you know what? They released their poison, David.
Okay,
their poison, the Wuhan virus on America.
And let me tell you something. One of their main advocates, her name is Nancy Pelosi, admitted on CNN that China would prefer Joe Biden. Now, I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. They admitted it. What, was she talking to them about it? So I want you to hear her struggle right now. I want you to hear her struggle to explain that Russia, they can't get off of Russia. Russia is working to get Trump elected, but China is pulling for Biden. And this is so convoluted, but you must hear it. Listen.
You know why? Hold on. Do you know why? We are the leaders of the free world. We are the leaders of the free world. But what happens is you have Russia, you have China, have all these, you know, they're also working and doing everything they can fighting each other because they all have things they're guilty of and afraid of.
Here's the reality. Russia and China are kissing cousins. Listen to what she says. You have to hear it to believe it.
You suggested in a statement that the threats posed by these three countries are not equal. Can you tell us more about that, please?
They're not equivalent, and that's why Leader Schumer, Chairman Schiff, and I don't know what they call in the Senate. I think it's Vice Chair of the Intelligence Committee, Warner, has sent a letter to them saying, the American people need to know what Russia is doing to interfere in this election.
What can you tell us as somebody who's privy to that intelligence?
We can tell more than what the intelligence community put forth. They responded positively. They put more information out there, but there's more that needs to be put out there. No sources and methods. Nobody understands it better than us.
What's she saying? Can you lean into it a little bit more for the sake of voters wondering what's going on?
Well, I can't divulge information that is classified. That's why we want them to do it. But I will say this, that for some reason, they have tried to have some equivalence.
She makes no sense at all. I mean, I got to tell you something. She's actually worse than Joe Biden. This one is unhinged at a level that's so deep. And here she's accusing Russia of meddling in our election. And then the reporter says, well, can you dive into this a little bit deeper? No, I can't. I can't say anything. Okay, let's listen to the second clip, because now she gets into this whole thing about, well, China is actually prefers Joe Biden. Listen.
I take second place to no one on my criticism of China for over 30 years.
Oh, is that why your husband makes a lot of money?
Other day, they say I'm the most unliked American in China, disliked American in China. They say, no, they don't say that. They say you're the most hated American in China because of their human rights violations, their trade policy, their proliferation of weapons and that. But so I have no, take no, criticism for saying this, but the Chinese, what they said is China would prefer Joe Biden. Whether they do, that's their conclusion, that they would prefer Joe Biden. Russia is actively 24/7 interfering in our election. They did so in 2016 and they are doing so now, and they say that to a certain extent, but they need to tell the American people more. The American people, I believe, think they should decide who the president of the United States is, not Vladimir Putin making that decision for us.
She's
crazy.
She is outraged. How dare China and Russia, how dare they try and take my job away from interfering with the election? That's my job. I'll interfere with it. How dare they? It's like, it's just evil.
I got to tell you, she is worse than Joe Biden. She is a national crisis.
They need to retire. They're just going, these people are demented.
You know, that's her and her kente cloth that was basically the slave owner cloth.
Yeah. All right, don't forget, check out our website, FHU.com. If you want to download the app where you can hear the show anytime you want, FHU Vision app. .com. Vision, of course, just think 2020 and you'll think, yes, we're getting an eyeful. FHUVisionApp.com. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Perilous World Radio.
You're listening to Perilous World Radio with David and Alan Masters.